The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years' experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Jason in the house.
Well, welcome to the Jason in the House podcast. Really do appreciate you joining us. We're going to have some fun today. This one's going to be a little bit different. This is a little bit more Jason Chaffetz, more than an interview because, you know what, there's a lot of stuff happening. Not only is there stupid happening, and we know there's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere, but that also tends to bleed over into the news. And so I want to talk about a couple different things. We're going to talk about the problems, the challenges of what Utah Valley University has done in this selection of their commencement speaker. But I really want to get into members of Congress doing stupid stuff and, acting like idiots. The evidence and the allegations are very strong. And it's, you got a consequence of two members of Congress, one Republican, one Democrat, deciding that, you know what, we're going to hang up our cleats and resign. And I got to tell you, this should probably happen more often because there's a couple other people that also deserve to do this. And so I want to start with this part because it's not very often that you have a member of Congress resign in this type of scandal. Members of Congress leave. I left early, but it wasn't because of scandal. It's because my balance is out of life. And quite frankly, I couldn't do what I was elected to do. And so I left in the middle of my term. I gave it a couple months notice, worked with our governor in terms of the reelection time. There are some very legitimate reasons why, and I can get into that. But when you have these types of scandals, and I'm talking about Congressman Gonzalez out of Texas, and first and foremost, one of my all-time favorites, Eric Swalwell, then it gets to be a situation where finally it feels like the walls are falling in on somebody who was projecting and telling and preaching that he was, Mr. Virtue. And that everything Donald Trump did and everything everybody else did was so morally wrong, fundamentally wrong. But it ends up that the real victims are some of these women. At least that's the allegations, and they're strong allegations. And that here you had one of the leading contenders to become the governor of California, somebody who was on the House Intelligence Committee, have to step away from Congress. You know, in the days that have led up in order to get to this moment, there was a lot of talk and a lot of discussion about whether he should do this. He was defiant. I'm talking about Eric Swalwell, the congressman out of California, defiant that he had done this, that he was going to vigorously defend it. But now that you have alleged victims standing forward and victims that are had to live through horrific things, assuming that what they're saying is true and that they are now going to authorities to be able to say, hey, some horrific things happened to me and they made these serious allegations that they're going to get law enforcement involved and engaged too. So we finally got to this point where very quickly the Democratic machine decided to leave the sides of Eric Swalwell. Now, you were talking about primarily Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, the two biggest supporters and pushers of Eric Swalwell were those two. Eric Swalwell, elected to Congress. He notoriously had these situations with Fang Fang, the alleged Chinese spy. I'm not even going to get into that part. But this was a man who routinely stood before the cameras and would go to an intelligence briefing and then walk out and just say something. And then you'd have somebody with an impeccable reputation. I'm thinking of John Ratcliffe, who's the current CIA director, would come out and say, no, that is absolutely not true. Devin Nunes, the House Intel chairman at the time, would come out and say, that is not what we heard. But you'd have Eric Swalwell and some others, quite frankly, come out and say, oh, this is what we heard, and this is wrong, and da-da-da-da-da. No, it was fundamentally not true. And I believe that because I happen to know John Ratcliffe, and I know Devin Nunes, and I know the others that were serving on that panel, and they saw the classified intelligence. And they, you know, one of the things that members do is they'll go see the classified intelligence, and then they'll say, I'm smarter than you. I couldn't talk about it, but I'm going to describe to you what it is, and you can't challenge me because you didn't get the classified briefing. But we'd have other members who would come out and say, that's not what happened. I guess the point I'm trying to make here in a convoluted way is that the people, the Congress, we don't know anything to Eric Swalwell. If Eric Swalwell did these things and harmed these women and took advantage of them the way that he did, shame on him. And there shouldn't have been this much hesitation and daylight if these types of things actually happened. Now, I'm not naive enough to think this is the first time in the United States Congress some of this stuff has happened. There's, you know, plenty of scandal and things that have happened with people in great proximity to power. But there seems to be a lack of dignity and self-respect. And I think it permeates above and beyond Congress. I think people who have gone out and treated themselves and to the whims of whatever they want to do, despite what somebody else or the harm that it may have caused somebody else, is has caused an awful lot of problems. But a person like Eric Swalwell, who is acting with such swagger and saying that he was, you know, so adamantly right on everything and that Trump was wrong on everything, and seemingly lying about what he was reading and seeing, that all caught up with him. Because it does appear that he was leading a lie. Now, if the allegations are true, and you kind of hope they weren't, but if they are true, then there's going to be additional consequences from resigning for Congress. Because I do hope that law enforcement will believe these women and will actually proceed and prosecute somebody like this. Now, we'll see what happens to that. But I think we should, let me put it this way, in a positive way. I do think we should have higher expectations for people who are going to serve in public office. They're not all saints. I don't pretend that they're perfect. I don't pretend that there's no mistakes that are made along the way. But I do expect that, particularly while in office, that they act with a higher level of morals and ethics, and that they aren't using the office to just take advantage, whether it's physically of somebody, financially, that they're there to make sure that their family member, others, reap the financial rewards. These are things that really, quite honestly, should not happen. But when they do happen, it seems like what happens is the Ethics Committee, and I think I've mentioned this before, but the Ethics Committee is a balanced committee, and that it has the equal number of Democrats and Republicans. That's probably a good thing, but they're also too partisan, because you'll say, have one side saying, oh, yes, we need to get rid of this person, and then the other side saying, oh, no, we shouldn't. And that becomes problematic because, you know, you just need to stand on principle, and that would be the most important thing that we could do. But it did take this instance where, you know, we have such a close balance of power in the House of Representatives, you know, 1, 2, 3 votes here and there, and you swing the balance of power, and who's in control, who's the speaker and who's not the speaker. Now, the problems with Eric Swalwell and his demise and his resignation coincided with some very strong allegations about Mr. Gonzalez, who was a Republican congressman out of Texas. Now, I think, and I want to give kudos to Representative Byron Donalds. I think he was the first one I saw who said, you know what, both of them should be gone. Neither of them should stay. The allegations of him having an affair with somebody who worked for him, and then that person, I believe, was an intern, and then she took her own life. Now, I do not know if it coincided one to the other, but the proximity in time is highly suspicious. And it does beg the question, and I'm not saying he's guilty of that, but he too has now resigned. And that's probably best for everyone. Not only him, not only his family, not only the person who allegedly had this affair, but it's good for Congress and the United States of America. If you screw up that bad, have the moral fortitude to say, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to put our country through this. I don't want to put my family through it. But sometimes you see these people say, oh, no, well, I mean, look how long it took to get to this point. Now that it's happened, I think it's a good thing. And I think there should be much more of a precedent and an expectation. Now, I will tell you, behind the scenes, and I've never talked about this out loud, but what I witnessed was with Speaker John Boehner, and when he was the minority leader, he does not get enough credit for when people went awry and went astray. He would sit those people down and say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to support you. Your life is going to be hell, and you're going to be out of here immediately. Now, you can go look up what happened to some of these people, but suffice it to say, the same day that he found out on some of this stuff, these people resigned, and they were gone, like, immediately. And the scandals came out. They were visible. They were out there. But they happened, and I tell you, he did not get enough credit. The one who also probably deserves a little bit more credit in a very negative way is Nancy Pelosi. Now, Nancy Pelosi, as the Speaker of the House and then the minority leader for a spell, appointed Eric Swalwell to the probably most important committee. It was called the Intelligence Committee. Now, you can argue that appropriations or some others or the Ways and Means is the most important. I happen to think the Oversight Committee was the most important committee. But one with an extra set of responsibility, with a higher security clearance than anything else, was the Intelligence Committee. You have to have people with an incredibly high level of moral standards who would be and serve on that committee to be able to see intelligence that, if it got out in the open, can cost people's lives. Somehow, some way, despite all what's happening with Fang Fang and those allegations and everything that was happening with Eric Swalwell and these allegations of sexual misconduct, which, by the way, didn't come up in the last 6 days. That rumor had been out there strong for a long period of time. And now she's out there saying, oh, I just heard about it. I just heard about it. Really? You just heard about it? I don't know. As I'm trying to say here, there's a higher level, there's a higher bar. Somebody like a John Ratcliffe or a Trey Gowdy or somebody beyond reproach has got to be on these committees. Somebody like a Devin Nunes. But you know what? Nancy Pelosi didn't see that. She saw it as a political chip, a political tool, a thank you. Oh, you supported me, you go to bat for me, you fight for me. I'll put you on the Intel Committee, make you look stronger. Help you with your fundraising. That was so fundamentally wrong. I'm embarrassed for her that she did that to this country, because somehow, some way, she came to the conclusion that Eric Swalwell was of high moral fortitude and he should serve on the Intel Committee, even though much of this stuff was coming out along the way. If there's any hint that there could be a compromise, they should have gotten rid of him. That's what John Boehner did, and he doesn't get enough credit for it. But the complete opposite of that was Nancy Pelosi. And I hope people understand and digest that, because right now we got an incredible speaker. Mike Johnson is just salt of the earth, as trustworthy as he can possibly be. I served in Congress with him. I know him. I like him. I trust him. You know, and he's, what, second in line to become the president of the United States? If the president falls, the vice president falls, and he gets Speaker of the House? I mean, you know, there's a reason why he has a pretty strong and high security clearance, because he's right there in the chain. But he makes good choices. The Intel Committee is solely picked by the senior leadership of both the majority and the minority. So Speaker Johnson, hand select. That's why they call it the Select Committee on Intelligence, because there's no committee vote. There's no voting of the peers. It is purely put there by the Speaker on the Republican side, because they're in the majority. And the Democrats, Hakeem Jeffries gets to pick those people. He handpicks each of those people. And so if you go and you look and then you understand where the problems are, you got to just say, hey, are they picking the right people at the right time? And I'm just glad that they actually made the transition, made the difference.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Barack Obama ran an almost flawless campaign in 2008, concluding with his election as the 44th president and the first African-American to lead the United States. In early 2008, he spoke to supporters in Chicago.
The challenges we face will not be solved with one meeting in one night. It will not be resolved on even a super-duper Tuesday. Change will not come if we wait for some other person or if we wait for some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The woman dubbed the Ketamine Queen was sentenced to 15 years in prison for providing the drug that killed actor Matthew Perry. Jazzine Sanga pleaded guilty last year to one count of maintaining a drug-involved premises, three counts of distribution of ketamine, and one count of distribution that resulted in death or serious bodily injury. 42-year-old admitted in a plea agreement to working with another dealer to supply the Friends actor with dozens of vials of ketamine, including the dose that led to his fatal overdose in October of 2023 at the age of 54. Prosecutors say Sanga ran a high-volume drug trafficking business out of her North Hollywood home, where she stored, packaged, and distributed drugs, including ketamine and methamphetamine, since at least 2019. Another man died hours after she sold directly to him in 2019. Sanga is one of five defendants charged in Perry's death to plead guilty, the third to be sentenced. She was facing a maximum sentence of 65 years in prison. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Fox on Tech, the evolution of spaceflight.
The final shuttle flew its final flight in July of 2011.
The space shuttle pulls into port for the last time. Its voyage at an end.
But there would be no immediate new NASA ship. The plan was to use privately operated craft to reach the space station. And while the U.S. would wait for commercial crew, it would buy seats from Russia on Soyuz spacecrafts. Elon Musk's SpaceX would finally be ready.
SpaceX Dragon, we're go for launch. Let's light this candle.
Flying its first NASA test crew in May of 2020. But second provider Boeing would have nothing but trouble with its Starliner capsule, forcing its test crew to stay months extra in space. But when President Trump authorized the Artemis program to return to the moon, he directed NASA to use whatever we had to get there, and that meant the long-postponed NASA-owned Orion and whatever private industry could build. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let's go and move to the next one, because I got to tell you, I see stuff happening here in the United States of America, and it's still a fight. And I've talked about this a lot. I've talked about this up and down and all over the place. But illegal immigration, it's still illegal to be in this country illegally. There's a principle in our country, and it's called restitution. You steal a candy bar, you got to give it back. You break a window, you got to fix it. Restitution is part of the rule of law. You got to do everything you can to make it right. If you come across a border illegally, the way you make it right isn't just paying a fine, isn't just saying, oops, sorry, oh, I won't do that again. It's to go back on the other side. Because legally and lawfully, we bring into this country over a million people. A million people come into this country legally and lawfully. You can do it. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's arduous. Sometimes it doesn't meet your immediate needs of getting here as fast as you want. But our law has determined that economic incentive, economic desires do not qualify to claim asylum. People will come here and claim asylum, but for economic reasons, that's not good enough. What happened under Obama, what happened under Biden and Harris is they expanded. If you thought you were gay, if you thought you believed in climate change, if you thought you believed in a host of other things, then that was what they would call credible fear. Yet the law and the standard in the law of credible fear is you feel fear for your life. That if you go back or where you escaped from, you'd be killed. So if you go and you look at the Sinara brothers, and I think I'm pronouncing that right. These are the Boston bombers, right? They came into this country and their family comes into this country. And what happens? They get waved into the country, and then they decide, well, it's so harsh, it's so ridiculous, it's so evil where I came from. I'm so glad to be in the United States. Only to find out, and I can't remember if it's months or years later, they decided to go back to their home country. Now, if it was so bad and so evil and so dangerous, why would you go back? But they did. And so the flaw in the system is the system didn't catch that. They didn't flag them and be able to say, flashing red light, we should deport them. Instead, they let them back into the country. That is so wrong. You're listening to Jason in the House. Stay with us. We're going to be right back.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Hey, Chili, why are you so excited?
Yeah, our biggest deal of the year is rocking.
Kelvin, you don't seem as excited. What's up?
I guess all good things have to come to an end. And that cost ends April 30th. So that's kind of tough.
It's okay, Kelvin. We can always tell people.
Well, yes, but it's just this at cost program is one good deal. And I love helping people get more out of their money, like the old days.
Kelvin, did they even have AC when you were my age? Sorry about that.
Anyway, here's to hoping we can help as many people as possible before April 30th.
At cost pricing, only from Redding Heating and Air. This month only through April 30th. Visit reddingheatingair.com. Old-fashioned service. Modern day solutions.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that you have had with sellers when it comes to determining the right price for their home?
Well, that's a good question. We get it a lot, actually. And I can tell you that every owner, including me when I'm selling something, we always want more than it's worth. And I think most people know that. So I think what it is really taking the time to sit down and thoughtfully go through the comparables that are similar to yours that have sold recently and do the very best you can to be realistic. If I was a buyer in today's market and I was viewing three or four homes that are similar, which one would stand out to have the most features and benefits for the price?
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Talk to the only agent in town I recommend. Go online to reddinghomes.com. That's Redding, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
the house.
You know, in this country, we still don't have a fully functional entry-exit program. Now, they can tell you when you go in and out of the country, when you are on an airplane. And they will tell you whether or not you come in and out of the country on certain land ports that come in either by sea or some checkpoints by walking across the border. Not all of them. They have in Mexico what's called a border crossing card. A boarding crossing card is issued, last time I looked, and it was a while ago, there were something like 9 to 10 million border crossing cards. The idea with the border crossing card is that they were going to originally give these cards to Mexicans so they could come across the border and shop in America, but they were supposed to go back the same day. That was the idea. They come into the United States, they shop, spend money here. Oh, that's a good idea. We want that part of our economy. And then they go back across the border. Think of El Paso. Think of Nogales. Think of Yuma. You know, places that are right there on the border where, quite frankly, the United States, oh, think of down in San Diego, down by Tijuana, right? Oh, we got better shopping, better goods, better services. Come across, and then you can go back. Guess what? You go down there and look. People will show their boarding crossing card. It looks like a driver's license. Then they come across, and then they go back. They don't know. They could not tell you. They could not run a report today that says 357,000 people came into America, and then you say, well, how many left? They couldn't tell you. And they couldn't tell you who, because they don't do the exit part of this. Now, that's but one example, let alone the 20-plus million people, they came into this country illegally under Biden and Harris. They knew that there was no consequence, that they could get jobs, they could work, they could say, and the way that would work is they would come into the country and they'd say, oh, I claim asylum. Oh, really? What are you claiming it for? Oh, economic reasons. Well, that's probably not going to pass, but, well, I want to have a hearing. Okay, you're going to have a hearing. Your hearing will be in 9 years. Now, I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. I've been talking about this for like 15 years. It's still a problem. And so they would say, oh, well, all right, my court date, until the court date, I need to have the ability to work because I need to make an income. They say, oh, yeah, good point. So they give them papers so they can work. So if you have a date in order to have your hearing, then you also have papers to actually work. Again, providing all the wrong incentives every single step of the way. And yet we see this playing out time and time again. We still have murders. We still have this massive crime. Now, some people say, oh, well, Jason, what's happening is the illegal immigrant population has lower crime rates than the regular population. Oh, really? That is the most absurd argument, because 100% of those could be prevented by them not being in the country in the first place. And how many times are we going to have to go to a family who's been harmed by the illegal immigrant population committing crimes? I mean, you take the whole gambit, whether it's robbery or whether it's murder, whether it's a DUI, one is too many. And they could all be prevented. And then the stress that that amount of people puts on our housing sector and inflation and all these other things, that puts a lot of pressure on the system, because they're coming here in part because what? They have free health care. They have free education. They are not held to the same standard when they are caught up with law enforcement. If you're in a sanctuary city or sanctuary state, or a state that doesn't have, quite frankly, a lot of ICE officers, and you commit a crime, you are treated better than an American who's committed the crime in that place, because you have to deal with them separately. I think you may have known this. It's really worth revisiting, because it's going to be a big part of the election. The Democrats continue to really, really harp on the idea, and this idea that, you know what, we don't want to enforce the law. We don't want to cooperate with ICE or what's called ERO, Enforcement Removal Operations. So once you're caught up with ICE, ICE doesn't deport you, ERO deports you. And that becomes a bottleneck in terms of your ability to exit the system and exit the United States. And look, these people have rights. They got to go through a process. I get that. But Democrats, they don't want to do that. That's why we had the problem with under Biden and Harris. That's why we got 20 million plus, who knows the exact number, people coming here illegally. And yet the Democrats will continue to fight. They haven't funded Department of Homeland Security. because they want to see all these changes with ICE. Well, they made a lot of changes. We have a new secretary, Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen. He's the new secretary. That was one of their demands. They didn't want Christine Ohm there. And then they said they want body cams on everybody. Okay, well, they'd have body cams on people. And then they did some things and made some demands that are absurd, like basically shutting down ICE. Well, they're not going to shut down ICE, okay? Immigration Customs Enforcement is very vital to what we're doing. Because if you're here illegally and you're committing a crime, even if you're just here illegally, we're going to help you get back to the country in which you came from. And that is really, really an important part of the system. All right. So with all that said, a lot of other things happening. I do want to take just a moment, lighten it up just a little bit, and get to people doing stupid stuff. Because you know what? There's always somebody doing something stupid somewhere. The first one here, we're going to the AP News. This is the Associated Press. All right, so let's go to the first one. This one happened in Seattle, and the headline is, oh, snap. The statue unveiling had a bit of a mishap. See, the former Seattle Mariner Edgar Martinez and Ken Griffey Jr., they were at the ceremony honoring the Hall of Famer Suzuki. He's like an incredibly talented baseball player. But evidently when they were doing the unveiling of his statue, they started to pull the curtain back and they were counting it down and they were going to bring down the curtain. And the bat that was in the hand of the statue broke. This is a broken bat. Now, undoubtedly, everybody laughed and he's had his share of broken bats because he was like an amazing hitter. But, whoops, maybe they should have practiced that, and maybe they should have had a statue that could stand there. I feel bad. That's not just stupid. That's just bad luck, too. But it'd be interesting to see if they fix it or they just leave it. But anyway. All right, time to go on to the New York Post because, as you know, I love the New York Post. And you go to the New York Post and you can find some really clever, fun headlines. This one is interesting. Why TikTokers are eating mini clay pots in bizarre trend and what they can do to your body. The latest trend taking over TikTok may leaving you scratching your head. So what happens is they're showing these kids, unfortunately, filling miniature clay pots with lime juice. Ugh. Dusting them with some, you know, other very spicy things. And then they said, oh, let's have a late night snack. And then they popped the tiny clay vessel into the mouth, closed their eyes, and guess what happens? Oh my goodness. This is so bad. It's so, just don't do it. Because this thing evidently just, you know, you're taking a non-food substance like clay and you're putting it in your mouth. If you're out of chips, don't be doing this. This is just stupid. It's like putting Tide Pods in your mouth. Huge bad reaction. Don't be doing this. Incredibly stupid. I don't care if it's on the internet. Don't do this. This is so stupid. All right, now we're going to the United Press International, UPI.com. University breaks world record with 682 people in dinosaur costumes. All right, this is not in the United States, I'm proud to say. This is in Alberta. They broke a world record. I didn't know there was such a world record. I loved the Guinness Book of World Records when I was growing up. I loved reading through that. My dad would get that. My mom would get that. And I'd have fun looking at the pictures and reading all those. Thinking, I wonder if I could do one of those. This was just stupid. People dressed up as various dinosaurs that 682 somehow broke the Guinness World Record. Come on, Guinness. Let's have legitimate world records. That one is just about as stupid as it gets.
More Jason in the House next.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A 33-year-old Washington State woman who journaled about killing her father before she fatally shot him was sentenced to 28 years in prison. Alyssa Bradburn was sentenced April 2nd in Spokane County after a jury found her guilty of first-degree murder in the 2024 killing of her father, Timothy Bradburn. Prosecutors say Bradburn showed little emotion during the trial, sitting stoically and at times smiling. During her testimony, she said she enjoyed the trial process but believed she deserved punishment and would accept her sentence. Bradburn called 911 June 25th, 2024 and reported that she had shot her father as he returned home from a trip to Hawaii and she'd wait for police outside the home. Bradburn admitted she began planning to kill her father weeks in advance, practicing with the firearm inside the home and getting help loading it at a gun range. At first, Bradburn alleged her father was abusive but withdrew those claims later. Bradburn's defense attorney argued she was mentally ill. There's more on the story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
Take a pause.
It's alligator mating season when female gators get aggressive. Brandon Fisher of Florida's Gatorland attraction.
Typically, you know, lasts for about a month and a half, 2 months maybe, and then the females are going to build their nest, lay their eggs. It takes 60 to 65 days for those eggs to hatch out. So typically, baby gators hatch out beginning September.
Gators are entrenched across the southeastern U.S., wildlife officials say avoid encounters by staying away from lakes and ponds. If you come across a gator, don't provoke it. Make some noise and back away. If you're walking your dog, make sure the pooch is on a leash and near you. Savannah Bone of Gatorland tells Fox TV affiliate WOFL Orlando, don't underestimate gators.
I hear people all the time laughing about,
oh, alligators aren't that smart, blah, blah, blah.
Right? Well, so guess who's that? The one that's getting taken? Not the alligators, the human.
Take a pause. Jill Nato, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Time to get back to some other news because, you know what, there's some really important things that are happening on in the world. Now, I want to get into Iran a little bit because I think the president is doing a very hard, very difficult thing. I think many would say politically it would have been easier for Donald Trump to do just nothing with Iran. Could have just kept going on. But you know what? Presidents don't get to do that. Presidents get to see intelligence at the highest level. And we had discussions and interactions highlighting the idea that Iran was an existential threat to the United States of America. That is not new news. That had been out there for 47 years. And ever since they took their hostages, Iran has been a problem for the United States of America. Why? Because they wish and act on the idea that they want death and destruction to the United States. The Iranians have long said that they would kill us if they could, and that they have proxies, think Hezbollah, think the Houthis that are down in Yemen. You have a lot of proxies that Iranians have used to fight us and kill us and make the world a much more dangerous place. So you have Hamas, you have Hezbollah, you have the Houthis, you have others, and the State Department concluded, not even under a Republican led president, but that they are the largest purveyors of terrorism in the world. And the fear has always been that they could produce a nuclear weapon and long-range intercontinental ballistic missiles and be able to kill and take out not only us, but our allies as well. So a president doesn't get to make, you know, he doesn't get to ignore everything. What I appreciate with Donald Trump is that he saw the intelligence and he decided to act. Now, some would argue, oh, there was no clear and present danger to the United States of America. That is, in my opinion, patently false. Iran with a nuclear weapon, with a dirty bomb, with the ability to shoot something really far, is an existential threat. It's not just an existential threat, it is a direct threat, okay? And the Iranians demonstrated that when they shot a missile roughly 2,500 kilometers or so, and almost got to our military base in Diego Garcia, which is out in the Indian Ocean, about 2,500 kilometers away. That's a long-range missile, folks. And if you look at their radius, they could have shot that in all parts of Africa. They could have shot that up into Europe. And they could have fired something similar towards the United States. Didn't look like it had the range yet, but it's something we know that they were working on. So let me step back here for a second. President Trump also saw intelligence and acted upon it when he created the Space Force. And I've talked about this before. I think it was a brilliant move. So much of what's going on in our world is cyber-related. Our world has changed. You can talk a lot about the Internet. But the Internet is largely run by space. You know, Barack Obama, back in the day when we were scuttling the shuttle program, Barack Obama had no other plan to get us up into space, get to the space station, or to fix or help our satellites. What he wanted to do was just contract with Russia, because Russia was the only one that had the capability in order to get up there. Now, when some could argue that the Chinese could, but Russia was willing to shuttle our astronauts up into space and charge an astronomical amount of money. And the space program in NASA was kind of falling apart under Barack Obama. Donald Trump came in and saw the intelligence, and then he created what was called the Space Force, a new branch of the military. Why? Because you can't operate safely in this world and protect the United States of America without being able to have your assets and your defense also in space. You know, Elon Musk recently with his SpaceX filed some paperwork I read about to launch 1 million more satellites. There are thousands, I wish I knew the number, thousands of satellites in space right now. But no, he wanted to launch a million more and get the paperwork done for it. That's not just because of Starlink. It's because of our ability to communicate. It's not just your cell phones and your GPS, but it's also how we do agriculture. We had Jim Bridenstine on this program on Jason in the House before, former NASA administrator, talking about all the details, all the things that happen in space. Now, I've seen some classified intelligence. I'm going to be super careful here, but my estimation, okay, my perspective, there's already a war in space. We just don't see it. Nobody has a mobile phone. Nobody's driving by and saying, oh, look, that blew up, because it's in space. But what the Chinese, what the Russians, what others are doing in space, there's a real race on. So not only did Donald Trump create the Space Force in order to do some really important things, but what has he done? Now we have the Artemis mission. And hopefully you saw that last week. Wasn't that amazing? Here are these astronauts that go into space, they zoom around the backside of the moon and come back, I think it was 9 days later, and then the capsule was floating down and the parachutes deploy and then they splash into the water. It took like 2 hours to get them out of the capsule and bring them back to. That was amazing, right? Well, there's going to become a day where we more frequently do that and we actually go back and forth to the moon. And all you have to do is look at what Elon Musk is saying and saying, hey, look, we're going to colonize the moon and then we're going to go to Mars. And we're going to do the same thing. The moon is chock full of really important natural resources that, if mined and put together in good order, can actually really benefit the world. But until then, guess what? I guess circle back to what's going on in Iran. In Iran, they are trying to cause death, destruction, and disruption right there with the 90 million people. It's not the 90 million people. It's the leadership of this country that does not want to play nice as a good country citizen. they have been bombing some of our allies and some of the people you would think would be Iranian allies, people in the region, the United Arab Emirates and other places, Saudi Arabia, like they're all under threat. I don't know what Iran's thinking, but they're certainly not winning friends. And the bombing would stop if they would do just a couple things. If they would say, you know what, you're not going to bomb us anymore. You're not going to enrich uranium. In fact, we're going to take it so that you can't do that. And then you will never, ever develop a nuclear program because we don't trust you. No, the war, you've earned it over 47 years. Nobody trusts you. And they can't agree to that. So Donald Trump has done the tough thing, right? The right thing. He's locking down the Strait of Hormuz. Now, by the time this podcast comes out, could be 10 minutes from now, they may change that. But our military and our satellites and our intelligence services are using all the tools necessary to understand and watch what Iran is doing. Going back to my original point about this, it would have been a lot easier for Donald Trump to just keep the price of gas low, down near $2, and say, nah, I don't need to deal with this. We'll get through the midterms. But he's doing the tough thing in protecting the United States of America. That is the America First agenda. Some people say, oh, but we weren't going to attack all these countries. No, we're not. We're defending the United States of America. He truly is the president of peace. Without declawing, if you will, Iran, you will never have peace. People say, oh, it's about Israel. No, it's not. First and foremost, it's about the United States of America. Oh, is Israel a great ally of the United States? Absolutely, one of the best. But the reason you do is to protect American interests and America first. A lot to talk about on this Jason in the House podcast. I truly do appreciate you joining us for this time. And I want to remind you that it would be really helpful if you would rate this podcast. And then the next thing would be if you could subscribe to it, because it comes out every Monday morning, just shows up in your box. I'd also encourage you to go back and look at the full library of Jason in the House podcast, because we've had hundreds of people on the show, things that we've had to talk about and got to talk about, and like everything from Mario Andretti and Phil Sims to some of the, you know, James Comer, and some really, really neat interviews that we've been able to do along the way. So Senator Schmidt we did recently. I hope you heard that one. So please rate the podcast, subscribe to it. I want to remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. So please join us again next week. Really do appreciate it. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
He showed me a deer or a cow or something. But before he got through the sentence, he started telling me, what can we do about so-and-so? He pushed all the time, and he would jump on people. He would yell at his office staff. He'd even yell at members of Congress.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. President Trump says the man accused of trying to storm the ballroom at the White House Correspondents' Dinner last night with guns and knives left writings that called for the targeting of the president and administration officials. Mr. Trump tells Fox News today the family of the accused gunman raised concerns about 31-year-old Cole Thomas Allen of Torrance, California, to police ahead of the event. Mr. Trump, after the attack, had concerns about the security of the hotel.
We looked at all of the conditions that took place tonight, and I will say, you know, it's not a particularly secure building.
The armed man was a guest at the Washington Hilton where the dinner was being held. He is due in court tomorrow. A Secret Service man whom he shot during his attack was wearing body armor and did not suffer life-threatening injuries. He's been released from a hospital. A major push to crack down on Medicaid fraud is now underway all across the country.
Dr. Mehmet Oz is leading a sweeping effort requiring all 50 states to revalidate Medicaid providers, tightening oversight across the system. His administration has already halted payments to more than 400 hospices and home health centers in California over suspected fraud. A new fraud war room is also up and running, designed to track suspicious claims and recover billions lost each year. Officials say the goal is to protect critical health care resources for seniors, children, and people with disabilities.
It's correspondent Ron Taylor. Police in Northern Ireland have declared a security alert in the town of Dunmurry on the outskirts of Belfast after reports that a car bomb exploded near a police station there. Authorities say that homes in the vicinity have been evacuated and other people told to stay out. A similar attack was launched about a month ago. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I talk to a lot of great companies. Very few of them actually literally surprised me, but Fellowship Home Loans sure did. For over 20 years, Mike and Brian and the team there have been helping families do something most people think is more complicated than it has to be. Get into a home, lower their rate, or tap into equity they didn't even realize they had. Everything at Fellowship is done in-house. One roof. One great team, all with a servant-led mentality. From your first phone call to closing, you're going to get people who know you by name. They'll know your situation. They treat you like family. They're also offering a free mortgage checkup right now. Don't miss out. Rates are lower now than if you purchased or refinanced your home in the last few years. Many Fellowship customers are saving hundreds of dollars a month when refinancing, and there are no payments for 2 months. Go to fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, fellowshiphomeloans.com/MikeG, or call 800-510-MIKE, 800-510-6453. Fellowship Home Loans, mortgage lending by the book.
Nationwide Mortgage Bankers, DBA Fellowship Home Loans, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 819382.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the U.S. does not plan a third renewal of a waiver allowing the purchase of Russian oil that is currently at sea. He also says that a renewal of the one-time waiver for Iranian oil at sea is totally off the table. Bessent's statements come as the world is closely watching the war in Iran, and global energy markets have been ensnarled by Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. originally issued a waiver for Russian oil sales and petroleum products back in March. An American soldier involved with the capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro has been granted bond after being charged with using classified information about the operation to win more than $400,000 in an online prediction market. Federal prosecutors say Gannon Ken Van Dyke used his access to classified information about the January raid to win money on Polymarket. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A small indigenous village in Alaska wants to reclaim its status as a top spot for polar bear tourism.
Visitors flocked to Koktovik before the pandemic to see polar bears waiting for sea ice to form. Tourism in the village just off Alaska's northern coast was paused because of COVID-19, and then because of concerns that tourism impacted the community and affected bear behavior. Local leaders are now working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to address the issues and revive the industry. The aim is to ensure tourism benefits the community without causing any harm. Bob Agner reporting.
Today is Sunday, April the 26th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today. They include comedian Carol Burnett, who is 93 years old. Olympic swimming gold medalist Donna De Verona is 79. Actor Giancarlo Esposito, 68 years old. Actor Jet Li, 63. And First Lady Melania Trump is 56. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Diamond Crown Classic. Created over a century ago, and to this day, it remains one of J.C. Newman's finest examples of what a cigar should be. Dominican binder, creamy Connecticut wrapper, and a selection of five different fillers from the Caribbean to Central America. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Fair Show.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fred Fair's All-Star Panel.
Billions of dollars are being spent to drop bombs on Iran. The regime is still intact. Iran's in a stronger position now than it was before Donald Trump started his reckless war of choice.
Do you know that if I left right now, we had a tremendous success. It would take them 20 years to rebuild, but I don't want to do that. I want to have it everlasting.
We got to keep the pressure on. The Iranian government, what they all they want to do is survive. We can't let them survive in the current state.
Well, the Iran conflict, we talked earlier about the Iran leadership and how there is a fracture between the IRGC and the more moderates who may have been negotiating. The Iran president sending out a message, if in Iran there are no hardliners or moderates, we're all Iranians and revolutionaries with ironclad unity of nation and state and obedience to the supreme leader, we will make the aggressor regret. You know, strong letter to follow. Let's bring in our panel. Fox News contributor Mark Thiessen, Melissa DeRosa, former chief of staff to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Josh Holmes, co-host of the Ruthless podcast, former chief of staff to Senator Mitch McConnell. Josh, it's tough. First of all, you know, they're going to put out these statements all the time. It's clearly chaos inside Iran, number one. Number two, for the House minority leader to say that Iran is in a better position today than it was before the war started is just seems so disconnected.
It's so disconnected. And I can't really figure out what he's doing. I mean, the partisanship at this point has gone off the charts. You could be confused if you're listening to Hakeem Jeffries about whether he's a spokesperson for the Supreme Leader of Iran or a spokesperson for the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives. That is totally divorced from reality. And you saw the announcement, the extension of the ceasefire. Time is on the side of the Americans here. I think the president has complete command and control over this situation, and Iran is not in good shape at all.
The ceasefire extended between Israel and Lebanon, and the ceasefire right now seems indefinite as far as with Iran. The exiled crown prince of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, talking about that ceasefire and how it's dangerous for the people inside Iran. Take a listen.
How many Iranians will lose their lives while the community of Western democracies continue to merely watch? As we speak, the atrocities are still unfolding that the world cannot see because the regime has blocked internet access. I'm not saying that diplomacy should not be given a chance, but I think diplomacy has been given enough chance.
Yeah, so Melissa, there are some voices in Iran saying, come on, please keep going. Inside the U.S., our Fox polls show that there's a lot of support for the U.S. military, the rating of military performance, excellent, good, driving the day. Extremely or very important for the U.S., and you can see 80% avoid prolonged conflict, keeps the Strait of Hormuz open, end the nuclear program, less so, 55% bring in regime change.
Well, listen, I think that there's no question that the United States
armed forces are the greatest in the world, and we just continue to reinforce that time and again in everything that they do. There's also no question that this is an unpopular war and that we are getting closer and closer to the midterm elections, where you're going to see the political consequences of that. So while I do think that whether you are left, right, or center, you have to acknowledge what we've done to decimate the Iranians' military, their navy, their naval operations, you also can't deny the fact that this war was going to be 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, and that we are still at a standoff, and that we don't have clear vision into where this is going to resolve. And at the end of the day, when you, power in war is resolution, or I'm sorry, is will backed by resources. And do we have the resolve to stick this out, to get time on our side, to get the strongest deal possible? And at the end of the day, President Trump is going to be, I think, judged by the end result and not the middle game.
Mark Thiessen, the president gave you a very true reposting your op-ed in which you wrote, Trump doesn't need a deal to get what he wants from Iran. If Iran continues to refuse his terms, he should maintain the blockade, strangling Iran economically, while the U.S. finishes the job militarily. Together with Israel, he should eliminate the Iranian leaders resisting a deal. And if Iran is still not willing to meet Trump's demands, he can declare victory without a deal and give the Iranian people the green light to drive the weakened regime from power.
No, exactly. Trump is the consummate deal maker, and the best deal makers in the world know that sometimes the best deal is no deal. So he's given the Iranian regime a chance to capitulate. They are not taking him up on that. Because of the ceasefire, he was able to steam ships through the Strait of Hormuz and start the blockade. And so now the time has come, I agree with Jack Keane, to start the military campaign again, except this time it's military campaign plus blockade, which is going to crush their economy as we're crushing them militarily. And when we stop the war, the fighting pause. Admiral Cooper had about 14 days left in order to finish all the targets on his list. He's now, as Jack pointed out, he's got double the firepower. The Israelis have their firepower. They are locked and loaded and ready to go. He can finish this in 2 weeks. And then once you finish the targeting, you say, we're going to either destroy Karg Island or you give us a nuclear dust. And if they don't capitulate, then we take our Karg Island and their economy is finished. So I think we are in a very strong position here. It's not going to take forever. We're a couple of weeks away from ending this thing as soon as we start the operation.
We shall see. All right, let's turn to Congress, which is another standoff in and of its own right, a little bit different, and that's the funding of the government, which includes the DHS. And there's some back and forth with lawmakers. As there always is. Take a listen.
I talked with Secretary Quinn Mullen about the urgency of the timing of the matter. He will run out of money literally at the end of the month.
The things that ICE is doing is simply not acceptable to the American people writ large. They are pursuing civil rights violations.
So there's this battle, Josh. House Republicans are grumbling about the skinny ICE funding package. The Senate, in the wee hours of Thursday morning, adopted this budget reconciliation framework to fund Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Border Patrol for 3.5 years. Republican leaders resorted to using the special reconciliation process, but hardline conservatives in the Freedom Caucus and beyond have long expressed discontent about breaking off ICE and Border Patrol funding from the rest of DHS. The two Republicans who voted against this with all Democrats, Lisa Murkowski and Rand Paul. Josh, you know, where are we on this? Republicans want to add more to the mix. Then they would have to send it back to the Senate. Are they going to get this done?
Yeah, I mean, what the grumbling's about, Brett, is whether or not this is the last train leaving the station. In other words, is this the last viable piece of legislation that's going to pass in this Congress, and what else can we put together as a part of it if that is in fact the case? But the bottom line is they've got to get this funded. Border Patrol, Homeland Security, everything else, it obviously needs to be funded. It's gone way, way too long. And I think the biggest problem that Republicans run into here is that they've taken their eye off the ball for the underlying point, which is Democrats at a time of war were basically blocking Department of Homeland Security funding. When they allowed that to go, they were perfectly fine with defunding the entire Border Patrol and ICE. That is not a position that's sustainable in the American people, with the American people, when you have that full-throated argument. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been the focus of Republicans at this point.
Speaking of full-throated arguments, Melissa, some of the rhetoric is quite something. Here's Senator Schumer and the new DHS secretary.
And you're here adding $140 billion to an agency that nobody, to two groups, Border Patrol and ICE, that nobody respects in this country.
And Chuck Schumer, no one respects you. The definition of a lying scumbag politician, that is you. If you want to defund ICE, who is in there arresting the criminals that the laws were passed by you, you had time to change those during the Biden administration.
And there you go, Melissa.
No, listen, I think that Democrats know that they've got public opinion on their side right now as it relates to ICE. The images of what happened in Minneapolis are still very fresh in the American public's head. And interestingly, in poll after poll, the American public really does differentiate between border security and ICE. And so the Democrats feel they've got the upper hand, but I would caution my friends in the Democratic Party from making the same mistake they did with the defund the police movement, because at the end of the day, ICE does play a very important role. There are just reforms that need to be made, yeah, many of which the president has done unilaterally and Tom Homan has done. And so take some of the victories where they've been given to you and live to fight another day.
All right, Mark, quickly.
Yeah, I don't think the Democrats have the polls behind them because they may have disliked some of the excesses that were in Minnesota, but they overwhelmingly support deporting every criminal alien from this country. And this may be not just the last train out of the station for this Congress. This may be the last train out of the station for the Trump presidency. They better get the defense budget through. They better get defense spending. They better get everything through, because if the Democrats take back the House, there'll be no more reconciliation bills.
All right, panel. We made it around the world. Thank you.
We'll be back with more right after this.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon.
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avacincaptad Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
This is House Call for Health. Los Angeles County recently reporting a record typhus outbreak with high hospitalization rates, and it's from flea-borne cases. The county health officer says flea-borne typhus can cause serious illness, but that it is preventable with simple steps. Health experts urging preventative measures to treat pets for fleas and to clear things that can attract wildlife to help stop the spread so that rodents and other animals stay away from homes and workplaces. Symptoms usually appear after 1 to 2 weeks of exposure and can include headache, fever, body aches, and a characteristic rash. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says treatment for most people is antibiotics, which are more effective when given quickly after symptoms start. They don't believe there's any chronic infection related to typhus, but it can be fatal in rare cases. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health from Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Fox on Faith with Lauren Green.
The vast majority of the known universe is invisible to us. 95% is made up of dark energy or dark matter. And the 5% we can see is very mysterious. As science advances, it seems to be aligning not with atheism, but the God of the Bible. So says Dr. Michael Gillen, whose new film, The Invisible Everywhere, shows how his passion for science converted him to a man of faith.
I was once an atheist. I started out life that way, and science shattered my atheism.
The film explores the cosmos around us and in us. For example, science developed the quantum vacuum model to explain how the universe began, how something could come from nothing, which is how the Bible explains how God created.
If you believe in the quantum vacuum, what problem do you have believing in God?
To hear more, go to Lighthouse Faith Podcast at foxnews.com. For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
I'm looking for people on both sides of the aisle who just want to get something done that helps people.
Every week we get together about a dozen to two dozen of us to pray in the House dining room from both parties.
This is some common sense legislation that we can come together on to protect our middle class.
I wish more of Congress operated that way, where you can have sharp disagreements on policy, but you treat each other with respect and kindness.
Well, some highlights from Common Ground, and in tonight's Common Ground segment, a look at what Americans think about the political polarization in this country and maybe what can be done about it. Joining us again is Tim Shriver, CEO and founder of Unite, which is described as a mission to fulfill the promise of America through stories, solutions, and studies that bring us closer together. He's also the chairman of Special Olympics International. Tim, great to see you.
Thanks for having
me. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we've been doing this Common Ground now for almost 3 years, and we've had interesting bedfellows come on. And yeah. You are really going after this with this dignity barometer.
The data is pretty stunning, Brett. You ask Americans which issues are the most important, almost invariably affordability ranks in the high 80s. Right below that is divisiveness. 83% of Americans say it's an urgent problem in our country and that they want to see people that are doing something about it.
Dignity barometer, you write, there is an urgent new issue in our country that's almost as important to them as the cost of living, how we treat each other. Americans are saying the problem of division is in how we treat each other. And the solution to division is also in how we treat each other. We're both the cause and the solution of the problem, and that puts the power in all our hands. You have data that backs this up, and you've been really digging in.
So what was really fascinating, we had a question in this barometer, Brett, about do you think other people should be treated with dignity? And I worried that Americans were going to, because we hear so much about the cynicism of Americans, they were going to say no, not those people, you know, not that party. 94% of Americans said yes. People should be treated with dignity. Only 30%+ said that we're doing that. So Americans notice the gap. We want to be a country that solves problems, that prevents violence, that gets things done. That requires dignity. But we're only 30%+ of us think we're actually meeting the mark. It's a 60% gap that names contempt as the obstacle to problem solving in the future.
You know, it's interesting. Do you think it's possible to ease and heal the divisions in our country? Do you think it's not realistic was a question.
Yeah.
The beginning, the initial ask, 72% possible, not possible, 28%. Now it's 76-24.
People move up. Even just talking, even on a poll, you ask people four or five questions about dignity, and before you know it, they're like, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm moving up. But the good news here is that 72%, even at the beginning, say we can solve this problem. They don't know how, and they know that their politicians, their leaders, they believe are not good role models here. They're not role models for our children. People say, look, what's the reason I want to solve these? I want problems to get solved, but our kids are watching.
All right, so for the people who say we're looking through rose-colored glasses,
right,
and this is all pie-in-the-sky stuff, and all politicians are going to fight each other, and every time we get close to an election, it goes to the sides, what do you say to them?
I say we can look at some of the races right now. Texas has had a Democratic primary, has a Republican primary. In those races, you can see candidates who have higher proclivities towards treating their opponent with dignity and those that have lower. See who wins. See what works. And we have a right to ask our political leaders, are you using contempt just to get my vote? Or are you using the capacity you have to reach me to actually solve problems? If you're using contempt, you are very unlikely to be able to solve my problems when you get in office. That's what I think the Dignity Barometer tells us. It tells us that people realize and are willing to cut through the noise. And look, I think, Brett, you've covered this story. And you've seen the audiences and you've seen the hunger, both from leadership and from your audience. I think it's time we elevate this to be an issue in the country.
I want to go back to the last time you came on and we were talking about RFK Jr. and your family relationship
yes.
and dynamic. Here's a little piece. Is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. going to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner?
He will be at my house. The reality is that this dehumanizing contempt is tearing our country apart. What we hear, the estimates are about 100 million Americans have broken off a relationship in their own family. And I think the despair people feel, the loneliness and distrust young people feel. I mean, I say to politicians, look, you want to win the election? Great. But do you really want to alienate a generation of young Americans?
So is he invited to 4th of July? Or?
I'm going to have dinner with him next week.
Yeah. So to that point, even in families you see, and your own, you've seen it.
In my family, it's devastating. For my generation, my cousins, my brother, my sisters, for my children's generation who see their parents unable to navigate differences of opinion, who see the contempt flying from the mouths of people in political parties, is crushing people's spirit. So, look, we can do something about this. This is a kitchen table conversation every American can have. You can pull up the Dignity Index tomorrow and score yourself. Don't let me score you. Don't worry. It's not Tim Shriver coming into your kitchen table. Bring it to your own kitchen table and ask yourself. When you talk politics, when you talk about Brett Baer or Tim Shriver, when you talk about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, are you treating that person with the values and dignity you believe in? And if you're not, you can move up.
And now AI is plugging in.
We're gonna use AI. ChatGPT is learning the Dignity Index. Not quite there yet, but we're hoping in the midterms, Brett, that we'll be able to score a whole slew of midterm races. Not so Americans will get a judgment from us, but so Americans can score it themselves and ask their political leaders serious questions. Are you going to fulfill your mission? Are you representing American values? We're in the season of the America's 250th. Celebrating American values, the way in which we lead is as important as the outcomes we seek. It's time for us to take this seriously.
This is a big time as far as lifting up America as we get ready for this anniversary. Do you see the possibility of a rise of the center? Do you see, you know, as you travel the country, that it's not far right, far left, that there is really a center-right, center-left feeling?
I don't want to be sycophantic here, but you're the representative of the broad American center. The numbers are irrefutable. On almost even the most polarizing issues, 60, 70% of Americans agree. The people on the fringes in both parties do not. But the people in the middle of America, it doesn't mean they agree on everything, but they agree that we can solve these problems. I have no doubt that this country can heal in this moment of real fear about the future. As we celebrate the 250th, let's celebrate the spirit that has it invariably at every critical turning point in our country. When we've opted for dignity, we've made things better. When we've opted for contempt and dehumanization, we've made things worse. It's our choice.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You can see all the Common Ground segments on my podcast, Common Ground. Find that in the All-Star Panel podcast out of the Brett Baer podcast, FoxNewsPodcast.com, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. You can also see the discussion on the Fox News YouTube page. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1982.
The death of John Belushi.
Our paramedics responded to a home in Hollywood Hills. After a short time, had to pronounce the victim dead.
I came because I believe that the nuclear arms race has got to end.
For the sake of the world.
To be a part of the group of people that are supportive of what we are about, namely stopping the nuclear arms race.
Count number one, not guilty by reason of insanity. A look of wonder came to the faces of John Hinckley's parents. That's the count charging him with attempting to kill the President of the United States.
At the conclusion of tonight's game between the Giants and the Packers, all NFL training facilities will be struck.
I'm just very happy the patient is doing as well as he's doing right now.
It's very obvious that these cats were tampered with. It was not an accidental thing. It was not a product defect. It was willful and wanton.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. History isn't just in textbooks. It's the story of us, the United States. 2026 marks 250 years of America. And throughout the year, Bill Hemmer takes listeners on a journey through the 250 most impactful moments in American history. From the spark of revolution to the battles for freedom, the ideas, inventions, and decisions that changed the world. The 250 most impactful moments in American history podcast. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, everyone. It's Candace Cameron Bure.
Hey, everyone. It's Phil Sims.
It's Dolores Catania.
Hey, everyone. I'm Kix Brooks.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Rob Paulson.
I'm Ryan Serhant.
Hey, everyone. I'm Nicole Palizzi.
Hey, everybody. It's Kevin Nealon.
What's up, guys? It's Nia Su, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. The woman dubbed the Ketamine Queen was sentenced to 15 years in prison for providing the drug that killed actor Matthew Perry. Jazzine Sanga pleaded guilty last year to one count of maintaining a drug-involved premises, three counts of distribution of ketamine, and one count of distribution that resulted in death or serious bodily injury. 42-year-old admitted in a plea agreement to working with another dealer to supply the Friends actor with dozens of vials of ketamine, including the dose that led to his fatal overdose in October of 2023 at the age of 54. Prosecutors say Sanga ran a high-volume drug trafficking business out of her North Hollywood home, where she stored, packaged, and distributed drugs, including ketamine and methamphetamine, since at least 2019. Another man died hours after she sold directly to him in 2019. Sanga is one of five defendants charged in Perry's death to plead guilty, the third to be sentenced. She was facing a maximum sentence of 65 years in prison. There's more on the story at FoxNews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor Bret Baier.
We now return to the Bret Baier Show.
Okay. Here we go again. Thanks for doing this.
Delighted to be with you.
One of the books that you've written, and you've written many of them, Love Your Enemies, How Decent People Can Save America from the Culture of Contempt. You write about how we can transform toxic political culture in today's world. And that's one of the themes I'm talking about in this book. America was obviously formed to be united and in its name, but too often we're overcome by dissent. So talk about, if you can, Arthur, some of the ways that we can get over that.
You know, this is the problem of contempt in our culture, of polarization, of fighting each other. There's nothing new about that. If you go down to the time of the founders, you'll find that Thomas Jefferson was sniping at John Adams. That there were people all over the place that were always doing this, and what brought the country together was always a shared objective of something bigger than ourselves. This is one of the reasons that the country really comes together in times of threat, of crisis. You remember that in my adult lifetime, there was nothing that brought America together more than 9/11. I mean, 9/11, holy cow. I mean, you could say it's like everybody's flying American flags. And just the odd person out there that was not with it was very unusual, was a very unusual person. We felt prouder to be Americans at a time when America was actually under attack. So that's one way. One way that we actually come together is we have a shared threat. We have a shared crisis. I don't want that on our 250th anniversary. I know that nobody watching us wants to have that either. Another way to do it, however, is to remember a shared love. I've done focus groups where I bring people together in my research, and I want to see how people who are like strong Bernie Sanders supporters and strong Donald Trump supporters, how they can talk to each other. And if you bring them together and you say, talk about politics, it's like daggers drawn from the very first moment, right? And they're like brawling, man.
Yeah.
So here's how you do it differently. You start the conversation around shared loves. So here's how I do it. I sit people down together and I say, okay, we're going to talk about politics in a minute. You all, you know, really disagree. But before that, I want you to take the first 10 minutes and tell each other about your kids. I want you to tell each other about your kids. And they start talking about their kids. And it's like, and if you and I talk to each other about our kids, Brett, we're not going to get to the main theme. Because I want to know, you know, what's going through your head as a dad. And we're going to talk about what I'm worried about with my kids. And if we both have teenagers, it's going to be like common enemy. And we're going to really bond.
Yeah.
And so this is the key, is shared loves. And I think this is the point of the 250th, what we're trying to do. I mean, that's the case for America, isn't it? It's the shared love for something that we really have. What can bring us together again is what we most love about this country, what we most cherish about this country. And so that second technique, that's what we got to focus on.
Sometimes we forget, though, in our day-to-day, and it seems like younger generations maybe have forgotten some of our history along the way about how we got here. So that's the 250th, hopefully, is going to kick that in.
hope so. I mean, humans are very ungrateful wretches, I have to say. And, and there's a reason for that, by the way. I'm a behavioral scientist, and so I look at the evolutionary psychology about why people do the weird stuff that they do. We have a thing implanted in us called the negativity bias. And the reason is because our ancestors, 250,000 years ago, if they actually didn't have a negativity bias, they'd wind up enjoying things too much, and a leopard would eat them for lunch. In other words, you need to be suspicious and hostile and ungrateful. That's what keeps you alive. I mean, the gratitude and the nice spirit and enjoying things about life, that's great, but that's not going to keep you alive in the ancestral environment. So the result of it is that your ungrateful ancestor 250,000 years ago are the reason that Brett Baer is alive today and prospering in America. But we can get around that. If we actually know what's going on, if we know that we have an ingratitude bias, and everybody has it, by the way. I mean, look, I study happiness for a living, and the other day I found myself, I kid you not, Brett, saying to somebody, you know, first class on United Airlines has really gone downhill. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. This is a state of nature, and the way that you get around that is by remembering. That's why the 250th is so critically important, to help us remember what this thing actually is. You know, it's funny. Who really reminds you of how great this country is? It's always immigrants. It's always immigrants. And so when I say something about, I don't know about this country, I don't know, my immigrant wife's like, oh yeah? Let's have a little talk here.
Right.
Because she remembers, because she actually literally grew up as a child in a dictatorship. Where you didn't get to vote. You couldn't protest. You couldn't say, you know, the head of state is a dumb guy and not have a knock in the night. And so the result of it is that as much as she might complain about this government or that government or this party or that party, she's super grateful every single day. And, you know, so here's my solution. Everybody should marry an immigrant.
There you go. You know, I mean, there is this stampede still, day to day, week to week, of people from other countries trying to get here. And there's a reason for that. I mean,
totally. I mean, it's amazing. You know, being trained in my background as an economist, you know, people always talk about, you know, they give their opinions about this product or that product. I'm like, show me the sales data. Show me the sales data. Well, when it comes to America, I got the sales data. We win.
Yeah.
Why? Because everybody wants to come here. I mean, case closed. The case for America is a case closed. When you actually look at where people are trying to go, it's like, you know what? I really, really want to move to Russia. Said no one ever.
Exactly. You know, in our founding principles of America, the pursuit of happiness is described as unalienable right. You've done, as we talked about, extensive research on happiness. Why do you think founders called that an unalienable right?
It was a super radical thing, and that was actually kind of unplanned. So George Mason wrote the Virginia Declaration of Rights, and that was the template for the Declaration of Independence that Thomas Jefferson wrote. But he was taking dictation from a lot of other people, most notably Benjamin Franklin. I mean, and Benjamin Franklin was that guy was crazy,
yeah.
And he's like, I got this idea. Let's take this Virginia Declaration of Rights, which had in it life, the guarantee, the unalienable rights endowed by our Creator of life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And that's what it said, right? And that's great. That's great. I mean, I believe in that too. I believe in property rights. I believe in private property. I believe in free enterprise, like as much as anybody in America, maybe more. But Benjamin Franklin said, let's make it a little bit more philosophical. Let's give this a little bit more edge, man. And so he convinced Thomas Jefferson to say, it's not about just the pursuit of property. It's about the pursuit of your life as an enterprise. See, here's the thing. It doesn't say, there's not a guarantee of happiness. I mean, be very suspicious when a politician guarantees you happiness.
Right.
Stalin called himself the guarantor of happiness. That was actually one of his nicknames made up by himself, of course. They can't, because, you know, look, government can't make you happier. Politicians can't make you happier. Government, when it does its job, can lower the sources of unhappiness. That's the best it can do. You're responsible for your happiness. Brett is responsible for Brett's happiness. Arthur's responsible for Arthur's happiness. All that the state can do and the society can do is make it possible for us to pursue our happiness, because that's what opportunity means. That's what Benjamin Franklin was telling Thomas Jefferson, I believe, that we have to guarantee an opportunity society, and the ultimate opportunity is the opportunity to pursue our happiness. You might get it, and you might not get it, but you deserve to live in a country where you have the freedom to make that so, and I believe they achieved that.
Don't go anywhere. More of this interview coming right up.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. Maybe you haven't heard about us. We're not one of the big guys. Truth is, we don't want to be. If you're over 50, Big Wireless has you paying for more data than you might need. Why? They might want you to cover the cost of younger people who do use all that data. If you're not using the data, you're probably being used. We've heard time and time again that some Big Wireless customers get stuck paying hundreds and even thousands more for years and years because they think it's hard to switch. Not with us. It takes just about 20 minutes, and you can change your plan anytime without extra charges. We use the same towers as the big guys, so you'll get the same fast nationwide coverage without the big wireless bill.
Our plans start at just $20 a month, and for a limited time, switch and get your second month free. Call 1-888-FREEDOM, visit ConsumerCellular.com, or a store near you and get your second month free today. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional details.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
You never know who might be taking the quiz.
Hi, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson. You're a personal astrophysicist.
Hey, everyone, it's Phil Simms.
Hey, everyone, it's Danica McKellar.
It's Candace Bushnell.
I'm Jeremiah Brown.
Hey, everyone, I'm Kix Brooks.
I'm John Taffer.
I'm Jennifer Eden.
Hey, everybody, it's Kevin Nealon.
It's Mr. Wonderful here, and it's time to take the quiz.
Five questions in less than 5 minutes every day. Listen and follow at thequiz.fox.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcast.com. Connect to Fox News Audio and the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app. The voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
We now return to the Brett Baer Show.
It's pretty amazing that those guys wrote all of that at that time and the way they put it together. If you look back, and I looked at the Constitutional Convention and really in depth, and the fact that it happened, the fact that it actually got across the finish line is really amazing.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. It is. It's a, you know, who knows? Maybe you believe that there's a hand of the supernatural in that. A lot of Americans do believe that. I happen to believe that myself. And it's when something like that happens, that changes the course of history in such an incredibly positive way, you got to take notice, I have to say.
So you've also written about how our institutions of meaning, faith, family, community, meaningful work can lift us up.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, when we talk about the pursuit of happiness, it's important to look at the habits of the happiest people. What do the happiest people do? Now, happiness is a hard thing to define for a lot of people because they think of it as a feeling, and it's not a feeling any more than the smell of your turkey is your Thanksgiving dinner. Feelings are evidence of happiness. Happiness is a combination of enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning, and each one of those things is a big goal. Those are kind of the protein, carbohydrates, and fat of happiness, are the enjoyment, satisfaction, and meaning. But I have the data on the people who have the most of those things. And this is kind of a business school question. I teach at a business school. Like, what do great executives do that crummy executives don't? Well, what do happy people pursue in the pursuit of happiness every day that unhappier people do not? So when you say pursuit of happiness, what does that mean? That means pursuing four things really seriously each day. Kind of a, it's your happiness 401k plan. These are the deposits and accounts. Number one is your faith. And by that, I don't mean my faith. I'm a Catholic, and it's literally the most important thing in my life. But as a scientist, I can say that there are lots of ways to do that, whether religious or non-religious. It requires looking up, getting smaller, thinking about more transcendent things than yourself every day. Maybe that requires walking in nature, or meditating, or studying the Stoics, but you got to get away from yourself every day. That's the first habit. That's the first pursuit. The second is family. And this is a real problem in America today. One in six Americans is not talking to a family member today because of politics. That is insane. When you're not talking to a family member because of politics, you have become the product. You become monetized by somebody, something on social media, somebody who's trying to manipulate you. Probably it's your own favorite politician, whoever that happens to be, because when you hate, somebody else profits, is what it comes down to. And that's happening in, for one in six Americans, and that shouldn't be. There's only one reason not to talk to your family, and that's abuse. And, you know, news flash, differences of political opinion are not abuse.
Mm-hmm.
The third is friends. And there's a loneliness epidemic in this country. Vivek Murthy, who was the Surgeon General under President Obama and President Biden, he wrote a whole book on loneliness, and I've done a lot of work with him. He's a very profound thinker about this, and what he notices is that the data are very clear. Americans are getting lonelier, and the youngest Americans are the loneliest people. I also work a lot with executives. A lot of people listening to us right now are responsible. They're managers. They have a lot on their shoulders. The busier you are, the lonelier you are, no matter how many people are around you. And the reason is because you're very likely to have a lot of deal friends, but not very many real friends. And we all know the difference between real and deal.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least is work, meaningful work. One of the beautiful things about our country is that we have a culture that is that focuses on the productivity that we can bring, the value that we can actually create. I love working and living in a work culture. You know, I've lived in Spain off and on for the past 35 years. Not a work culture.
No.
It's a good beach culture.
Yeah.
But not a work culture. And the result of it is that there's kind of an anchorlessness that people feel in their lives because they're not consistently creating value. The two things about a job that will truly bring joy are earning your success with merit and hard work and personal responsibility and serving other people. So I don't care if you're a roofer or you're a politician or you're a journalist like you or a professor like me. You got to earn your success the old fashioned way, and you got to serve other people, and then work will bring you joy.
That's pretty good. Why is civic education essential for the next generation, do you think? And how can we make it happen in our schools, our homes, our communities? I mean, why is it important?
Knowledge is power when it comes to designing your own life. You know, I teach my students that if they want to get happier, they got to do three things. They need to learn about the science of happiness, they need to change their habits, and they need to teach it to other people. Learn, change, share. Those are the three steps. But that's the three steps to anything. I know you're a good golfer. I've heard from mutual friends that you're a fantastic golfer. Mm-hmm. To be a good golfer, look, I'm not a good golfer, but I know what I need to do to become a good golfer. I need to learn about golf. I need to golf a lot. It's even better if I explain golf to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I learned math the first time, is I learned a bunch of math in school, and then I did a huge number of problems, and then it really became much easier when I actually taught math for the first time. That's what it comes down to. That's how you learn something, is that you learn it, you practice it, and you teach it. Well, the same thing is actually true when it comes to civics. You want to be an excellent American. And to be an excellent American, I mean somebody who's really pitching in as a good citizen, but somebody who also appreciates this country, somebody who's really getting the most out of being a citizen in this country. You need to understand what it means, you need to be a good citizen, and then you need to talk about it with other people. That's what it comes down to, and that starts with civic education.
Yeah, and it seems like we've missed a beat over the years on some of that.
That's for sure. I mean, look, there are a lot of people that don't appreciate it and are in the business of not appreciating America. We know that to be the case. And so the first thing that you're going to do, if you really want to weaken this country, if you want to take people who are new immigrants and people who have been here for 13 generations, or I guess 14 in the case of my 1630 first Brooks ancestor in the new land, mm-hmm. if you want to make us all like America less, that starts by helping us not understand what's going on. Just like if I want to make somebody unhappy, I got to make sure they don't understand the science of happiness to begin with.
Yeah, and not knowing, that's right, leaves the vacuum.
Ignorance.
If you were to make the case for America in front of a jury of your peers, how would you do it?
So, I look a lot at the people who have set up their best lives. And people live in different ways. People live in different places. They have different religions. They have different jobs. They have different tastes. They have different habits, to be sure. But what they have in common is this belief that your life is a startup. Your life is a startup. It's an enterprise. You're the entrepreneur. You're the CEO and the founder of You Incorporated. I mean, you work for Fox News, Brett, but you're really Brett Incorporated. And you're going to be happier the more serious you are about your own enterprise, the more control you have over your own enterprise. To have a lot of control over your enterprise, over your startup, you got to live in a place that empowers you and gives you a lot of freedom, that makes it good. Look, I mean, there's a reason that startup companies move from state to state. It's not because it's fun to pick up and move. It's because they want to be in a congenial environment for their startup. People start up more companies in the United States than any other country because it's a more congenial environment. It's an ecosystem for startup companies. Well, it's also a congenial environment for startup lives. That's why my mom's parents picked up and moved from what's supposed to be the happiest country in the world, Denmark. Came to America because they had a first grade education and they were the wrong religion. And they said, you know what? I think I've heard that we could start a farm in South Dakota, which they did. They were startup lives. What I love about this country is that this is the perfect place to be your own startup. And that's the way I wanted to stay for the rest of my life and for the lives of my kids and grandkids.
That's a great way to phrase it. Arthur, thanks so much. This has been awesome.
Thanks, Brett. I can't wait to read the new book, and I know everybody in America is going to enjoy it as well.
Thanks, buddy.
Surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon,
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegyl, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with IZERVAY. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
The Reading Rancheria proudly invites you to the State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center, with doors opening at 11:30 and lunch at noon. Join us as we celebrate where we have been and explore where we are going as a tribe and community partner. Proceeds from this event benefit the Reading Rancheria Community Fund. The Reading Rancheria State of the Tribe Luncheon, Wednesday, May 20th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and watch the State of the Tribe streaming live.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.